gentleness. That's the virtue that we're pondering this morning. Now remember, when we talk about a virtue, we mean one of those traits of or qualities of character that we understand to be something that's morally good. And virtues are going to be found in some proportion in the life of someone who's attempting to follow Jesus. We will have some elements of moral good in our lives. And for anyone visiting today, you've arrived right near the end of our series on the virtues that we as believers might expect and hope to see growing in us over the years. There is only one more after this, but if you are visiting, don't worry, you can catch up online before the test. Today, however, is gentleness. And that reference to gentleness is hidden away there in our reading to the church in Galatia from Paul. Now, in that letter, the apostle's reflecting on how we can sometimes abuse our human freedom. And he offers this great long laundry list of ways that we can and do go wrong, and pointing to idolatry and hatreds and jealousy and envy and much more. It's a catalog that is disturbingly contemporary. We do idolatry today as well as any people in Paul's day. We just changed the name of the gods. There's precisely nothing in that list that isn't an issue for us right here in Qualicum Beach. Never mind the depraved flesh pots of Parksville and Nanaimo. This is what you get when I have to write a sermon on a Saturday instead of on a Monday. And Paul's saying that those things may feel like freedom, but they're actually dangerous to us and to others. And so instead, he urges his readers to allow for the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And if you give the Spirit freedom in your life, says Paul, all sorts of other things will bubble up. And he calls these things the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Do note that he isn't saying, I want you to work really hard to demonstrate these things in your life, so be more loving and be more joyful and be more peaceful and so on. No, he's not doing that at all. He's calling his readers to allow the Holy Spirit greater freedom in their lives. And we've talked about how you might be encouraging that here earlier on in the year. And we would say it's through the disciplines of the Christian life, like worshiping together like we're doing today, and just being together and serving others and reading the scriptures and praying and more. And so here's the lesson for today. Give room for the Spirit to work in your life, and you'll be more gentle. Not a lot of clapping, I'm not hearing. Oh yeah, a little late. But you got to admit it does sound a bit of a, there's a kind of a lunchbox letdown in gentleness. I mean, I'll own it. I read through that list of the fruit of the Spirit and my gaze does not linger too long on gentleness. So bring on faithfulness. Oh, please, Lord. Make me more loving. Grant that I might be more peaceful, that I might even be a peacemaker. And if you know me, you don't have to think too long to realize that a little self-control wouldn't go amiss. But gentleness? Like, really? I said earlier that gentleness was hidden away in that list a moment ago because it seems to go under most of our radar. We don't seem to take it in for some reason. And gentleness is a bit like that person who's picked last for her team, you know? Well, speaking of teams, as you know, I'm a sports fan. I can watch just about any sport and enjoy it. I mean, show me a luge competition, snow polo, buzkashi. Oh, That's where you ride a horse at full gallop, dragging the carcass of a headless goat along, and you try and hurl it across a goal line? That is the national sport in Afghanistan? I will watch that. Put on the 43-man Squamish, and I'm not only enthralled, I'm suddenly an expert. But there's something about the teams and the individuals who come in last. You know, I admit, I have a real soft spot for them. I don't envy them. I don't yearn to be them. I have no wish to join them in the agony of defeat. But there's a kind of nobility in simply finishing, even if it's in last place. And I got to tell you now, it's tempting to launch into a meditation on the Canucks here. But indeed, the spirit of self-control is growing within me. Well, gentleness is one of those virtues that always seems to be at the end of our list. One that we overlook, one that we underestimate in value. And I use the word we quite deliberately. I know I'm not alone in this. The Gallup polling organization some years back did a survey of the very attitudes on the things that we have been studying, the virtues. And interestingly, the notion of gentleness came in last place. Christians scored ever so slightly higher than non-Christians when they were polled about their interest in being gentle, but really, it was pretty much lowest on everybody's list. And are any of us surprised, really? We live in a competitive, fractious culture that doesn't actually encourage us to embrace gentleness. In fact, gentleness is more likely to be perceived as weakness. Of course, this is a load of old codswallop, a lie from the very pit of hell. I like being dramatic. But it's not an uncommon perception. As you can imagine, I've been thinking a fair bit about my dad since he passed away on Wednesday. And I'd like to thank the many of you who've been able to offer words and actions of sympathy. It's really been helpful And we really do appreciate those kindnesses that have been so generously given to us. Some of you will know that as one of the ways that we tried to communicate the news of his passing is I posted something on my Facebook page. I put in the news of his death, and with that I put in a pencil sketch of my dad. It's a sketch, if I've got the story right, I was checking with my brother last night, I think this is right. It was done by one of his RAF friends not too long after he got his wings, after he became a pilot during the Second World War. I figure that he was about 20 at the time that it was drawn. And once again struck at how young they were. All sorts of friends responded to the news, and some who've actually known Gordon longer than I have. And I noted a number of times that it was observed that he was a gentleman or a gentleman. And yeah, he was. He was a gentleman. I actually think that it was his gentleness that was one of the things that made him strong. And some of that, I suppose, is his basic character, and some of it was his particular upbringing. He carried the burdens of us being English. Well, we would not want to make a fuss about anything. I'd also say, though, it had a lot to do with his faith. Dad was a disciple of Jesus for a long time, longer than I've been. And I believe that one of the ways that the Spirit was manifested in him was in his gentleness. So please forgive that personal foray today, but it seemed to kind of fit. And I'm getting a bit ahead of myself, I suspect. Definition is in order. One of the oft-repeated lines we hear in and out of the church today is that we, the church, need to make the gospel relevant to our world. And that sounds really, really good until you actually spend a third of a second thinking about it. No. The gospel is the standard. Our job is to allow ourselves to become relevant to the gospel. And so rather than assume we all know what gentleness is, let's look at the way it's actually used in the pages of Scripture. What is this gentleness that Paul refers to? Elsewhere, in his letter to the Philippians, Paul writes, "Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near." That Greek word translated to gentleness is epieikes, which means appropriate. Someone who's moderate, balanced, patient, gentle. This gentle person would be, for example, someone who would be good at dealing with conflict, in that they'd work at it in a non-anxious way. Honestly, I need to be that kind of gentle. The word that gets used in our opening Bible reading from Galatians 5 for gentleness is praoautes. And it's a slightly different word in that it's more about mildness or humility. It's got a connection in Paul's day and age to a kind of a soothing medicine. A medication that reduced or took away, you know, like a churning gut, a stomach that's really upset. And I know from some bitter experience that when you've got nausea, nothing else matters. And to have a cure for that kind of upset, there is a big market for that. That is not last place in the list of virtues in that circumstance. It's the winner. So please note, gentleness is not something that's passive. Gentleness is active. It makes a difference. But there's another meaning associated with this Greek word. It's like the concept of a tamed animal. So I want you to think about, for just a moment, a horse. Now, horses can be found in this range of weights. But on average, I know because I checked online and Google never lies, the average horse weighs 1,100 pounds, which in kilograms is something. I only think about weight of things in pounds. What's with that? Who knows? Anyway. Horses are strong. Stronger than we are. And they can carry and pull some significant weight when they're tamed. Their gentleness is actually strength under control. So in the understanding of the church, when we talk about gentleness, we are not talking about a weak person. No, we're talking about someone who's strong, who's mature, who's confident in themselves. And I suppose that our ultimate example of this understanding of gentleness is Jesus. That's actually how he describes himself, as gentle. We heard that in our gospel reading from Matthew today, and I confess that's one of my favorite texts. Jesus says to his would-be followers, "Come to me, all of you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." His word for gentle is the Greek word prowess, which is, yes, related to Paul's word for gentleness in Galatians. It's also the same word that he uses when he said on the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the meek." Blessed are the gentle. I'd like to expand on that. I'd like to say, and also blessed are the strong under control. So you can see that this gentle thing is something that I might be wanting, that I might need, that maybe the whole world needs. Let me do something that I don't usually get to do. Let me offer some comment on who I'm seeing sitting in front of me right now. I have the advantage, and I know it isn't always an advantage, but in some things it can be. But I have the advantage of having been associated with this congregation for a fair length of time. And yeah, that limits my ability to see some things. But on the other hand, it allows me to see some other stuff. And one of the things the years have allowed me to see are some consistencies, some character, some profile. Now, it's been pretty well argued, if not established, that congregations have dimensions to them that carry on through the generations. And there's all sorts of interesting speculation as to how this happens. But it doesn't seem to matter who's actually a part of the congregation. Makes not a whit of difference who the minister is. There are just things about a local church that carry on whomever is sitting there on a Sunday morning. And one of the things I've observed here over the years is a remarkable gentleness. And believe me, I claim no ownership over it. Gentleness was here when I walked in, and I trust it will be here long after I join my dad. But there's a gentleness that I have seen amongst you. And yes, there are times when we slip, we get up, caught up by frustration or by anger or by disappointment or by confusion. But by and large, you lean toward gentleness. And I want to say what a gift that is for the community we live in. A congregation exhibiting gentleness will be thoughtful. It won't overreact, but it'll take time in responding to what's going on. Why? So that they can actually care for people on the way. A congregation exhibiting gentleness will be considerate. It will attempt to discern the impact of its actions before it actually acts. And so I would say that the community meal and the outreach tea and the Mexico mission, those are really, really good examples of this. Because I've seen you asking, how would it feel to be on the receiving end of our good intentions? See, that's a gentle heart. And a congregation exhibiting gentleness tends to be calm. Now, some of our calm can be attributed to tiredness. Hey, I'm with you. And more with you every day. But mostly what I've seen isn't a group that's reactive. That's going from high to low to high to low to high to low. No, there's usually some balance. Things tend to be well thought out. They tend to be paced. Now, of course, those are just my impressions, and it's obviously that I got a fair bit of skin in this game. So let me wrap things up with something for us to think about, not simply as a congregation, but as individuals. Now, we hired a consultant to work with us a couple of years ago, and I think there's been some good fruit as a result of that work. And Diane and I will be having some conversation about that at the congregational meeting next Sunday. But one of the things a consultant does is bring fresh eyes to a situation, and that can in turn help us to see some things that we might miss. Honestly, it was a little scary for me in our asking someone to come and do that. I mean, what if he or she told us the truth instead of what I wanted to hear? I mean, I might get hurt. Well, I think we got at least some truth. And I survived, and you survived. And I think it's helped us in all sorts of ways. Well, I've seen a steady gentleness within this congregation. And that's a part of who we are as a group. But what about you? How are you doing with gentleness as an individual? If you want to know where you are in your growth and gentleness, The best way to figure it out is to ask someone. Gentleness is a fruit of the Spirit. We do not grow this fruit internally. The proof of the fruit is usually in the other's eating. Catch my drift? If you want to know where you are in the production of any fruit of the Spirit, ask someone. They're the ones who'll likely know. Peace, kindness, love, patience, it's like it's all hanging on you. It's fruit that's being tasted, whether you know it or not. Of course, you have to have someone who loves you enough to tell you the truth, right? So let's pray about that. Please, let's pray. O God of grace and provision, we thank you for the gift of community that you created for us to live together. We pray that every person gathered here this morning might have someone in their life who would be prepared to walk life with them, with us, who would love and who would understand. God, grant us all a good friend. In fact, we even dare to ask for more than one good friend who will have the courage to speak the truth to us and enable us to have ears to hear and a will to respond with grace. Grow within each of us the different fruit of the Spirit, and especially that of gentleness. And we make this prayer in the name of the one who is gentle and humble, who offered us an easy yoke and a very light burden.